Hi, this is Mike Ross, public address announcer for your Toronto Maple Leafs, and this is the Leafs Late Night Podcast, your post-game destination. And now, your starting lineup, Roscoe, the Fanalist, Southey, Beaner, and Darty Brodeur on the Leafs Late Night Podcast.
All right. Go, 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 go. Face, face, face. Base. All right, so I got a new setup. If you're watching on YouTube,
yeah, you do.
Lava lamp. I brought my little John Tavares plushie up close. I've got so many things back here. I'm gonna rotate through what's featured in the forefront. So it's a bit of a desk setup, but I wanted to feel more like a late night host. You know, I wanted to feel like. Like, I've got the desk. That's what I wanted. I wanted to sit here
and be
like,
this is... It's giving me, like, late 90s Conan vibe type of thing.
It's exactly what I wanted. I just... Yeah. The next step is I want a screen. I guess it would have to be on this side. Oh, I'm knocking my desk around. I'm getting used to this still. I want a screen on this side so I can, instead of bringing up stuff, picture in picture, I want to just, like...
It could work.
I want to be able to do it.
That whole pesky door being right there, though.
I know. I'd have to completely, like, 90-degree turn my room.
Or just something you can pull it in and pull out. Sounds expensive, though.
Ooh, I could mount it on this wall. And then
exactly.
It comes off, and I just
have an arm on it.
See, there's just going to be arms out of everywhere. And this is going to become a disaster of a room where I have, like, 3 square feet of space to move around. And the rest is just stuff. Welcome back.
I apologize to your fiance for those great ideas.
Her office is next door. She's doing her own thing. This one's mine. This is what I get to do.
Fair enough. With
production stuff and Leafs bullshit. Speaking of Leafs bullshit, I missed the game on Saturday. So did you, but apparently the Leafs blew a 3-0 lead.
We did. I was out at an expensive dinner in wine country, and me and my friend were hand signaling the whole dinner. And we had just, when it got right to the end, it got very solemn for both of us.
Reminds me of you and I on set while we're rolling.
That's exactly what it was. Yeah, yeah. Game was over.
Oh,
like,
man.
2 double whiskeys over here, please.
Oh. I was in Toronto, actually, at a show that a friend of ours was in, and it was 3-0 while I was in line, or maybe 4-1 or something. And then I went in, finished the show, it was like 90 minutes, and then they were doing a Q&A period after. So a couple of people were, you know, checking their phones during the little in between.
Yeah.
And like, I heard a couple people mention the same thing, and I went, they lost in a shootout. And I just hear someone go, right? What the fuck?
Yeah, that's not like, even like the gist of it. 90 seconds left, they were up by 2 goals. So they let one in with 90
crazy.
Seconds left, and then with 6 seconds left, and then they lost in the shootout.
Yeah, I saw the bit of the only replay I saw was that Carolina pulled the goalie and
I didn't even look at the replays. I wanted nothing to do with that game. I was having a great weekend, and I didn't need that on my conscience.
It's funny. I didn't actually see the replay of the goal. I saw the replay of the bench because what was going around was the reaction from the Hurricanes bench when they scored. They're all,
probably hurt more than the goal.
Yeah, I had to watch it back a second time because the first time I was watching Carolina because I didn't know what was going on because I didn't see the game. The second time I'm like, I want to see how the Leafs reacted. And it's just a bunch of heads just, fuck.
Jesus Christ.
at least you're angry. But
this is like to a team like Carolina, not someone like Buffalo or fucking Ottawa.
Yeah, I mean, Carolina, we've all been kind of scared. They loaded up and they're looking dangerous. I mean,
I watched them the next day. They came to Ottawa and they were tied like 2-2 going into the third. And then they just pumped 5 goals into Ottawa and just kicked the shit out of them.
So that seems to be their little back pocket plays in the
third.
Pretty good, just
man.
Let go. I mean, adding Gensel and Kuznetsov, like, oh, get out of here.
Yeah, they can roll
such an annoying team. Yeah. But, alas, moving on, the Flyers get a rematch against the Leafs. Another one in Philly. I don't understand the scheduling, but whatever. Not a great puck luck game for the Leafs as one goes in right off the start of the game and then right off the start of the second. It's just... when you know it's a game of momentum, how do you recover from those, man?
This is really tough. I mean, like, you have to score on in the first minute of the period or the last minute of the period. That's always really tough to swallow. It's huge for the team who can do it. But Flyers have played for their lives right now. They benched their captain that game. So, you know, like, the players got a message. It's do or die type of thing. They had to come out and they really answered the bell. And to your point, the Leafs hit, what, 5 or 6 posts? Full disclosure, I really didn't see too much of this game, yeah. But it sounds like the Flyers did what they had to do.
There were a lot of posts on both sides. I think it ended up being like 6-4 or something for both
teams. Was it really?
Like, I've never seen... It was That's insane. Absurd. Like they were just running the count up. Like I've never seen this many posts hit. And there was another one that just like literally stopped on the line after a post and nobody could find it. Like, oh, it was
they were like, but, not like just like off the side of a post. Like when Nylander was in and like he had an open net, he just clearly hit the post dead on his backhand. Matthews hit the post just clean dead on too. It wasn't like, you know, sometimes you hit the post on the side and it'll go off, but these were like very, very good chances.
Oh, yeah, it was like beat the goalie and the post saved the day. Yeah. Like a couple inches in and yeah. Oh, man. But there was a lot of talk around the benching of the Capitano of the Flyers there. Back-to-back games now towards his benched Couturier. And some players have spoken out saying that, you know, it's old dinosaur shit to bench your coach like or your captain like this. But to a lot of people's response and credit, Torts is doing what he does and squeezing victories out of nothing, and this team should be nowhere near the playoffs. So
I feel like Dubinsky actually came out this. He's like, he was calling Torts out about this, but this is what Torts does. These guys are in the middle, in like the heat, dead of a playoff race right now, and they bench their captain 2 games in a row. Worked once, didn't work the other time, but that's what he's going to do. And if you're not playing the way he wants you to play, everyone's up for it. Like, he doesn't play favorites.
Well, and especially when you've got kind of an older and younger guard with the team, and it's putting the pressure on to show that, like, look, there's guys that are coming for your job. Don't make them give me a reason to give it to them earlier.
Yeah.
Like, don't play yourself out of your own job. Like, I'm reminding you that there's people waiting for this.
True. I can kind of get behind it, maybe like for one game, but for 2 in a row, that's a tough sell to everybody in the room as well. Like, I'd rather you pull him aside in practice and be like, hey, man, I'm going to play you 20 minutes no matter what the fuck happens here. You're my guy. I'm going to run with you. And maybe that's more of like a motivator than actually pulling the guy for 2 games. 1, I can understand, but 2, that's tough.
Yeah, I can see that. Like, 2, you get into the space of sending a message to the rest of the team that it doesn't really matter. What are you seeing this thumbs down thing?
Did you just thumbs down me?
I didn't do that. I don't know how this is happening. There's a reaction thing on that's with the new
Riverside like, just update. Thumbs down my take?
No, I don't know how I'm doing these. If it's like a, yeah, can I make it to a thumbs up?
No, I didn't see anything like that.
I don't know. If it's listening Torts to me and doing it off that, that's fucking scary. This is so scary. Anyway, what I was saying is, like, you could figure that out. The message you send is that it doesn't matter who you are. No one's job is safe, and you know if you play off for one night, you're gonna. It doesn't matter, right? Like, you can't win any favor. What you did 2 weeks ago doesn't matter. What you did last night's the only thing that matters. And, you know, I can see both sides of that. It's not a great message to send to your young guys, though.
No, it's really not. And it's not a great message to send to your vets either, too. Like, if you have one bad game, like, am I going to be sad for this all of a sudden? Like, that's going to weigh on me for the next game? Like I said, 1 game, I get it. You're sending the message to your team, but 2 games, especially for your captain, like, that's just a bit excessive.
So how, you said they lost, how did that game, the next game turn out? Okay, well, overtime against the Hurricanes, so, I mean, still, like, they're clawing at this spot.
Very much so, just like, they're right on the cusp.
Standings, real quick, where are they at? I was looking at this earlier and I can't remember. Wild card, Philly is currently... just on the inside,
behind Detroit.
Philly is currently third in the Metropolitan.
Oh.
They are a point up on Detroit, and they have both played 70 games.
Okay, yeah. So, That if we were to go to 1-8, they're in seventh right now.
That point they got from that game against the Hurricanes put them out of wild card and into third place in the Metro. So that was actually important for them. So, I mean, yeah, it's not a win, but Torts is still, so like, you gotta give him a bit of credit.
What if he pulls Sean back in the lineup and, like, he has a mediocre game? What do you do after that? Like, it's, I don't know, it just opens a lot of what ifs.
I mean, I think at a certain point, management steps in and is like, look, you can't just not play your captain. If there's a problem, you think Daniel Barrera's gonna do that? But
I feel like he's scared to death of Tortorella.
I mean, somebody's got to say something, but I don't know. We'll have to see. Who do they play? Who do the Flyers play next?
So they got 79 points. So they're 1 point between Washington, Detroit. That's a pretty good race. That's a nice race.
Bro, their next three games are Boston, Florida, and the Rangers. That sucks.
Chance, you're playing Couturier for those for sure.
They do have. Okay, so the
they got a game in hand here.
The rest of their season, Montreal, Chicago, Islanders, Sabres, Blue Jackets, Montreal, Rangers, New Jersey, Washington. So I would say they've got about a 50-50, if not maybe 60-40 split of like bad teams to good teams. So they have a shot, man, of holding on to this. And look, I would be interested to see just a new team in the playoffs, you know?
The Lightning. Their schedule going forward is not. Actually, it is pretty easy. I lied. Well, they got the Kings, they got the Ducks, but they got the Bruins and Islanders as well, too.
Oh, they've got a pretty easy schedule, though.
They're the team Sens, I would look at, Sabres, too, like, Blue who Jackets. Maybe would not make it.
Yeah,
although they do have 3 points and like 4 points on Detroit, so that's quite a bit. Game in hand.
It's crazy every time I look at the standings and see. It's crazy when I look at the standings and see where Tampa and Vegas are, because I just kind of assume without watching every day that they're doing okay. But then every time I see that they're in a wild card spot, I'm like, oh.
Especially like because you immediately fall back to like Vasilevsky's the best goaltender in the world. Cooch is having a heart. Type season, but yeah, they're 3 points out of a wild card right now.
Vasilevsky's been mediocre this year.
He's been super average
and
this year.
I've had him in fantasy. Yeah, so you average, would know. Not mediocre. I would say mediocre for his average. Standards, though.
They're an old team. They're an old tire team.
They are like the Washington Capitals, but my God, there's still a couple little. Fucking they're, shots they're left surging. In the tank there.
Look at Ovechkin. He looked like for the first like 60% of this year, he looked old, weathered, and then he's come alive since then.
Yeah, it was funny. I see him standing in his spot, you know, like he always does. And it's like, it's 2024. It's March.
This fucker's been doing this for like 17 years.
10 seconds goes by. I'm like, is this actually going to happen? Pass it to him clean. It's fucking in. I'm like, what? How? Everybody... How do we keep letting him get away with it?
Everybody knew it's it was unbelievable. Happening. And like to his credit, that one he blasted by wall, it just went right over his shoulder. Like he tried to lift his shoulder up, but like his accuracy, it's not like even the hardest one-timer ever. It's pretty hard. But this the way he puts it in. He does a full Brett Hall. It goes down on one knee. It's incredible. Incredible.
It's honestly, I mean, to make it about the Leafs, it's what Matthews has been trying to pick up this season. He's been taking notes, and that's the shot. He's been picking up that spot, finally.
For sure.
Speaking of the Caps right and Hurricanes, there. Though, did you see the score today? Caps just beat them 7-6 in a shootout.
Oh, I saw it was 6-5 with like a couple minutes left in the third. The Caps won?
Caps won 7-6.
Oh, shootout. Because of this fucking podcast, I have not been able to check on my parlays. For which Patrick I've got a Sebastian great, Aho. Great deal of them going right now.
Oh, buddy. Sebastian Aho and Sonny Milano on each side with a hat trick, by the way.
March Madness, buddy. I'm going to have to start a GoFundMe pretty soon. It's been a rough 2 days.
And if all goes south, you just blame your interpreter.
Yeah. Would you like to be my interpreter? I will toss you a small amount.
If you don't speak French, we can go to some QMJHL games.
Oui, c'est ça.
Oh, man. The reason I was pulling up the Caps, though, real quick, is Connor McMichael, who I have never heard of and is all of a sudden surging on this team. And look, we've been talking about the Penguins and Capitals as being teams that don't prepare for the future and have just had to ride out what they've got.
They have parallel trajectories, for sure.
Yeah. So I have always just kind of operated on not paying attention to any of the... Where's this thumbs up coming from? This is crazy, man. I've just not paid attention to any prospects on the Washington Capitals. But my God, he's 23. Either. But Connor McMichael, this guy last season was with the Caps and had 9 goals in 68 games, 18 points. This year, 16 goals, 14 assists, 30 points.
Nice. What a jump up.
Dude was with the Hershey Bears, like, for most of last year. He only played six games with the Caps. It was 2 years ago he had 18 points.
It's funny, because if you were to look at both lineups between the Caps and the Pens, I would probably take the Pens just on paper. But the way the Caps have been playing, infinitely better than the Penguins.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. I mean, yeah, to talk about the Leaf game, they kind of ran away with that one in the third period. But
yeah, they kicked the shit out of that game. That, like, the Caps were on a huge road swing before that. I think this is the first home game, and like, it was a lot of games anyways. So maybe I don't know if they had the home nerves or whatever, but the Leafs just beat the shit out of them.
Yeah, and I mean, Lindgren's been good this season, and they made him look bad. Holy.
Yeah, they had no, like, they were not pulling that guy, no matter if they scored 10 goals.
No. Not so, many of them were Matthews, Matthews gets the deuce. We had a hat trick for a split second.
He got the deuce. His first goal is important, I think, because of what happened against the Flyers. They reversed the roles there, right? He scored in the first 15 seconds, which was what happened the previous game against the Leafs.
You're right. Thank you. I missed that. Perfect. Flipping the script, of course. Yes. What I was going to say was that fucking Bertuzzi on his, like,
did you see the replay when Matthews was on? There was a shot of Matthews on the bench and he was like looking up at the Jumbotron. He's like, for fuck's sakes, like,
just saw how
take a stride or something. Like, he was so pissed without being, like, super pissed.
That's just, yeah, exactly. That's just a, dude, pay attention. All you had to do was pay attention. You would have seen Adomi and Matthews had to slow up. Just take, everyone said it. They're just like, just ride the line for a sec. Just slow up a sec.
Any 10-year-old like, hockey player knows that. But, like, you can't really get mad at Bertuzzi. This, the way he's been playing lately, it's the one little fault hungry. In his game.
He's full throttle.
Super sick, too. Apparently he's not playing tomorrow, so.
Yeah. This whole, like, every day I get an update. I have him and Marner in two different leagues, and I get updates.
Have his first shift until like 10 minutes into the game.
Yeah, and they had an ice time tracker going, and it was at like 3 minutes halfway through the second period. Like, he was really just getting out there and then hopping back on the bench. So the fact that he was even on for two of those goals, good for him.
Sorry to break your track. Actually, what you're saying about Matthews, though.
No, I want to now bring up Leafs ice time from that game, because I want to see what Bertuzzi ended up actually playing.
You can tell, like, he was just, like, he wasn't himself. He wasn't, like, as chippy in the corners. He was, between shifts, you could tell he was stretching out a lot. Like, something was going on with him for sure. Which begs the question, like, why are you playing him right now? We're fairly locked in the third. Just give him a fucking rest. You could have rested until Saturday.
Yeah. Well, from the sound of it, it seems like for the last couple, I'd say like 3-4 weeks, like, everybody's just been playing at 80% at the most. Like, it's whoever isn't throwing up is on the ice. Whoever can get out of bed is on the ice. So it seems like if they could give any of these guys a break, there's nobody to tap in.
Fair enough.
I mean, I'm just pulling from what we've been led to believe, but... where is this? Why am I here?
Yeah, because you already had Gregor in the game and stuff too, so yeah.
Speaking of Gregor, missing a couple teeth now.
Oh, yeah. What a dummy play by Wills. He was super heated earlier in the game. You can tell he was just like starting to boil over. And then that play happened and he just snapped for a second. Let his stick go, took out a couple inches of Gregor's teeth, and as soon as it happened, gave him a nice hug from behind. He's like, "I'm sorry, buddy. I had a mental lapse, I blacked out."
And apparently Gregor said he's lost those teeth already, so he doesn't feel anything. He's like, "They're dead anyway, they're dead. Don't worry." Like, oh, buddy, that sucks.
What other sport?
So Bertuzzi clocked in at 14 minutes, 19 seconds. So only
low more for than, him, like, but
Holmberg and Robertson. How does Robertson come out with like less minutes? Whatever.
Because they don't play him. They don't play him. For better or worse, some games, like, they still play him.
But yeah, I loved all the memes that came out of, like, you know, Bertuzzi being the older sibling that's like, no, don't tell mom, shh, quiet, don't cry. Just immediate regret, like, punched his little brother and then was like, oh, fuck, I hurt him. I didn't mean to do that.
Like, oh, shit.
It's,
you give him a nice little,
it's
hug
Tom Wilson.
Behind,
we know, like, what he's capable of, but that was,
I, like, actually feel the, like, I've never, he probably seen, didn't mean a to more, do that. He just lost it for a second, and that's his nature, is to be a piece of shit. So he let his arm go, and once it hit his teeth, he's like, "Oh fuck!" Like, I honestly didn't mean to do that. And six games, he's gonna sit for a long time, like, for that, man. That's no joke.
It's the most dangerous, careless, stupid, like, accidental play I've seen. Like, just somebody who is showing that they have no regard for the stick they're holding and their body and their strength and just
no,
like,
control over like their emotions.
Yeah, just somebody who, when they get mad, they'll just like flip a table. Just like,
you might see someone like hit like the shin pads or even an ankle or something, but to go right for the mouth, that's.
Yeah, and it's like he saw blood and just kind of threw his arm.
That's exactly what it was. And as soon as it happened, he's like, "Oh, what have I done?" So I think if anyone else had done that, considering like Gregor didn't go down, there was no real injury, I would say 1 to 3 games maybe. But since he has such a track record, like 6 games actually seems appropriate for him.
Suspension,
and let's not kid ourselves right now. 6 games is extremely important to the Caps right now. They are in a vicious fight for a playoff spot.
Yeah, I mean, when you only have 12 games left, that's literally half the rest of the season. So
he's a hugely important player for them.
Where are the Caps sitting? I should just keep the standings open.
They're right in there.
Go.
Caps are 1 point behind Detroit.
Caps are, 77, 78, and then 79 for the Flyers. Shit, bye.
And they have one game in hand on both of them.
Fuck. Yeah, this is sweet.
That's a big sussy, man. That's half the games they have left almost.
Yep. And can you imagine being the Bruins and literally not knowing who you're going to play in the playoffs until like the last game? How interesting would that be?
I mean, I feel like that's how it used to always be, but yeah.
Yeah. Now we know we're playing the Panthers, I think, at this point.
We've known for, quite a while. It's either them or Boston, depending if we go out like on a massive heater or something, but.
Yeah, because it's 7 points between Florida and Toronto and 7 points
No way.
Tampa just won, so it's 5 points between Toronto and Tampa.
Yeah, let's keep them behind us.
Yeah, still have a game in hand on them too.
True.
So,
two games, I think.
Yeah, I thought the same, but I think their game just ended, so everything updated. Yeah. So we got Oilers, Hurricanes, Devils, Capitals again, fucking Panthers. It's a hard schedule for
the
rest of the year.
That's a tough schedule. Like,
I'm kind of glad that it's not a coasty coast, like, because it seems like there's no way that the Leafs can lose their playoff spot, I guess. I'd rather but
Oilers, Hurricanes, Devils, Capitals, Sabres. I mean, Yeah. Oilers, Hurricanes, they're locked in playoffs. They're not playing for their lives. Devils, I think they're out of it, so they might not be either. Capitals will be a very tough game. Anytime you play the Sabres, they're fucking so annoying to play against.
You've got two games against Tampa, two games against Florida, one against Detroit.
The two games against Florida is very interesting, because especially if you're going to run into them in the first round, like you're very familiar with each other at this point.
Yeah, and I know there's a lot of benching of players at that point, but there's still going to be messages sent, right? Like, you're still going to be starting fights that are going to be followed up on in 2 weeks, right? Like,
even if it's just
a bunch of third and fourth line guys out there. Yeah.
You don't think that they're going to try and send out messages? They're not going to bench everybody. Yeah. Yeah, they're going to play a nasty game for sure. Those are going to be ones to watch. Those games are going to be like... Yeah, they're going to be messy.
I totally forgot. Speaking of sending messages, Wayne Simmonds retired officially.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
You can't bring him up in the lineup anymore?
Yesterday or the day before. He will not be signing for the playoffs. 4 days ago, yeah.
Good for him.
So I think he signed with the Flyers for the day.
I love to hear that. That was my favorite Simmonds, is when he was with the Flyers.
So I guess it was right before the game against the Leafs then.
Cool. He was on the panel at TSN, I think. I was watching one game not too long ago.
Nice. Yeah, I mean...
Or what? Like, maybe it's trade deadline, actually. Something like that, anyways.
How old is this guy? 35? Yeah. You know what? Take your money. Go.
Yeah, for sure, man. Good career.
Yeah. Kudos. I want to talk some proposed rules.
Let's do it.
So I've got both from NHL.com and from Elliot Friedman's tweet thread here. So I'm going to go through Friedman's tweets because they're a little more... they explain things better, I'll say. The wording is for people instead of lawyers.
Okay, I'm going to let you talk for 1 minute. I got to check some quick scores. Okay.
So first up, we've got 63.A... Four, adding goalie to the list of players who can get a penalty for intentionally dislodging the net. I feel like this one, it kind of is going to be unanimous. Like, I thought this would already be a penalty.
Hasn't already been a penalty, like, for, like, a delay game in a very, very obvious cases?
Yeah, there's... Because we've seen... There was that goalie who threw the net off. I think it was, like, an automatic penalty shot or something if you throw it off. But... Yeah, if you're pulling a Matt Murray like he used to do, where he'd kick the net off,
yeah,
I think they're going to start getting called for that. So that's interesting. Speaking of Matt Murray, he's taking the ice again. Practice. What unreal. Happened? Tell us.
Wisconsin, a -250 favorite, is down 14 points right now in the first quarter. Just blowing up my parlay, costing me hundreds of dollars.
Grah, no.
Let me get that out of my system. I have them on two parlays, of course, because I'm a fucking idiot and degenerate. So let's continue. Super, super fun for Sully.
Okay, on a face-off after an icing. On a face-off after an icing. Right now, the defensive center gets a warning for a violation. But the offensive center gets tossed. So when you see them get tossed from the faceoff, after an icing, the offensive team does not get a warning before getting tossed. They would like to add a warning for them.
Yeah.
I think you get enough of a penalty warning. In not switching your line. I think that, like, that's the penalty for icing. There shouldn't be other little things. If there's other little shit that, like, the fans don't even know about are going on, like, that's one that no one's aware of, I'm sure.
Yeah, completely agree there.
If a goalie is pulled... Yeah. If a goalie is pulled by concussion spotter... Not to mention,
like, sometimes the ref is, like, shitty on dropping the puck, so, like, it's not always on the player. Sometimes it's actually on the refs, too, so...
Oh my god, and the amount of times that I see Tavares get tossed from the playoff circle on icings, now it makes sense.
Their timings are all different. Like,
It's like, you really think this dude is Tavares of all people is going to have a violation of the playoff dot? Or the
that's a terrible face-off change.
If goalie Jesus is pulled by concussion spotter / injury, replacement gets a warm up. I think it's like 45 to 60 seconds. So they want to warm up for the goalies before tossing them in.
Fair. Like a minute? Yeah, whatever. Like, they usually just stretch around anyways.
If your goalie's getting pulled not by your own call as the coach, then yeah, you should be able to.
So wait, like, they get to have a player go, like, shoot on them or something?
I don't know. It doesn't really specify what a warm-up is. Let me see if there's more.
I feel like a stretching around is adequate, but shooting would be ridiculous.
Yeah, no. Oh, here. Oh, so when a net has been accidentally dislodged, disallowing a team to make changes and giving the attacking team the right to choose which side of the ice it wants the face-off to take place after the defending goalie or skater accidentally causes the net to be dislodged.
That's gimmicky. Whatever side the puck is on. It's the same thing. Like, just keep it regular.
Don't make things more complicated.
Yeah, that sounds very gimmicky.
Adding all these metagame plays where it's like, oh, let's do this, and then we move it to the other side, and it's like, don't.
Whenever
you
do
these things, you give people dumb galaxy brain ideas.
Yeah, 100%. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Garbage.
These guys can barely keep up with the rule book we have. Don't make it more
complicated. It's hard enough. This game is so fast to referee. Like, it's hard enough. What else we got?
Face-offs after stoppages when goalie's mask comes off. When a stoppage is necessary because a goalie's mask falls off or he takes it off for whatever reason, the face-off should take place in the goalie's defensive zone. His team will not be permitted a line change, and the attacking team will be allowed to choose where they want the face-off.
Tough one, because I agree that it should be in that team's defensive end, but the no line change. If the guy takes like a slap shot in his mask goes off, why should one team be penalized for that?
Yeah, because it's so arbitrary, the wording too. Because it's like, he takes it off for whatever reason, or if it falls off.
Yeah, like how often have you seen a goalie just pull their mask off to end play? That doesn't happen like almost ever.
It's like, I don't like when they try to make a rule because one guy did one thing once.
It happened one time, exactly, yeah. Like I said, I completely agree with it being in their own zone, but the no line change, that seems a little harsh.
New coach's challenge. If a penalty is called for puck over glass, they can ask for a video review to prove it did hit something. This is only for when a penalty is called, cannot be used to call a penalty on another team. If you're wrong on this challenge, it's a 5-on-3.
A 5-on-3. Woo. Steep.
Yeah.
So
I guess when they call the penalty, you can say, hey, like, if you know for sure your video guys catch, hey, that hit one of their sticks, that wasn't just us shooting it over. Yeah.
So you can only challenge if a penalty has been called, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of like that because those are really bullshit penalties that if we're going to start reviewing some of them, review all of them. Like, the next one falls into this category too.
If we're going to fucking start reviewing a lot of stuff and slowing this game down, there has to be legitimate consequences for it. So a 5-on-4, agreed, 100%. A 5-on-3, like, that'll make you think twice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I like it. That's... And the next one here in the same category, same for a... What is with these thumbs up? Minor penalty for high stick can challenge to show that it was a teammate stick or own stick.
Hate that, because you're taking out the human element of reffing. Where are you going to start doing that for tripping and slashing too? Like, where do we draw the line?
These are just suggestions. They have to go through a bunch of rounds.
Fair enough, but there is a human element into reffing, and for the most part, as much as we shit on these guys, they do get it right. So let's leave it at that, I think, for the most part.
Yeah. where it gets tough is like you can't put video reviews back in the box, right? So when we start reviewing some things and you show everybody, oh, this is what happened, and you show all the fans, hey, this is how they made the wrong call and there's nothing we can do about it. It's just either we accept that's part of it or
you accept it.
It's
that's
not.
What it is. You accept it. That's the human element of it.
Then we should review less things, if that's the case, in my opinion. Like, if it should just
I
be
like
more
the
of
offside
a human
review,
element.
I like the goalie review, and if I'm perfectly honest, I wouldn't review more than that. Those are the two things that's it.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. The offside one, I think there needs to be an asterisk on it where, like, you can't wait 2 minutes for the team to score a goal before you challenge if it's offside.
That's a funny thing, too, because
like, there's got
to
be a statute of limitations.
How do you stop the play? If the one team is controlling the puck for 2 minutes and the other team can't stop it, like, what do you do? Do you, like,
but I think
the flag,
that
like,
the
football,
idea...
Or, like...
Well, I think the idea is that the play has gone on long enough that, like, this...
That's not true. Toronto can go offside and they can cycle the puck for an hour, like a minute
right.
and a half, and then bury a goal. Like, so how are you supposed
right.
to stop that? But I agree with
I
you.
Don't know.
How do you like reverse a minute and a half of play? That's a very tough thing.
Yeah, and we've seen it happen. We've seen entire minutes come
like
back on
the
puck.
I don't like
the
offside challenge, to be quite honest with you. I'm a big proponent of refs make mistakes, and that's you live with it. It's sometimes it goes your way, sometimes it doesn't.
Okay. Next one, if a player refuses to play the puck off a high stick or a hand pass, the non-offending team, you could say the defending team, will get a face-off one zone better than where the play occurs. If it happens in the defensive zone, then the play will be in the neutral zone.
Hate it.
What? So, no. Just the whole point is that the play gets called dead, just reset. It's not like you gain yardage.
Or if like you high stick it and it comes right to me and I wait and then another player comes and he touches it first. There's always like an interesting play that happens right there. So you're taking that away. I don't like that one very much at all.
A lot of these things seem like they're going to slow the game down.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
I don't like that either.
I mean, goalie's getting a penalty for dislodging the net. Sure.
Especially if it's
if
blatant,
we're gonna,
100%.
If it's blatant, but if we're going to start splitting hairs and reviewing and challenging, oh, was this a kicking motion? Did he mean, was he just pushing off of the post or did he mean to dislodge it? Like,
yeah, or he slid too
one
hard.
Thing,
like.
It's one thing when they turn and push it off and you're Jordan Binnington and you're like, fuck this. It's another when you're Matt Murray and you're like making a play and you do a little, oh, oops. Like,
yeah.
Oh, that's going to get messy as much as I do think it should be there to discourage people from doing it, but it's just going to get messy with how you call it.
I feel like a lot of this stuff is just taken away from what's happening on the ice and who's actually like officiating and playing on the ice. It is a very slippery slope. If you start doing high sticks, goalies knocking over pucks, you're going to start doing tripping, or you're going to start doing slashing. Like where does it end?
So just by going off of likes on each of Elliot's tweets, the ones that had the most likes are the goalie getting a warm-up if they're replaced, and the review on the puck over glass penalty.
Yeah,
I think since that's a newer penalty, a lot of I mean, I'm not trying to make a stereotype, but a lot of people that have been watching the game for a long time before that rule came in hate it. My dad especially hates that rule. So whenever it's called badly, it just is kind of insult to injury, where it's like, if you're gonna have this rule, call it properly.
Yeah, this is a rule that took me a little while to get used to as well, but I totally get it. Like, as someone who played hockey for a long time, you're dead ass tired, you know your boys are tired, you flip it out of the butt, like out of the rink, and you just get a whistle, you get a line change. So I really, really get this rule. I actually quite agree with it at this point, but for like you said, if it's off somebody, then it should be reviewed.
Because the amount of times you see, like, you're behind your own net, and you try to throw it along the glass, and there's another guy in front of you, and his stick hits yours, and it goes up and over, and they're like, oh, that's delay a game. It's like, you really think he was trying to put that over the glass? Like,
but imagine if that wasn't a penalty. These guys would be flipping it over the glass, all the time. It would happen times a game.
For sure. I don't think it shouldn't be a penalty. I'm saying I agree that we should be able to review it because there's a couple times that this gets called where it's like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, don't start. I like that they added the caveat, like, you can't use this to call a penalty that's not there. Like, you can't ask for a review.
I like that.
On, if it was called on a whistle penalty, to say, hey, that no, that was delay a game.
That's very smart, for sure. Yeah. Because it eliminates 80% of these.
Yeah, and again, it's a 5-on-3 if you get it wrong. So that's like, you better be right if you're going to go for this.
Yeah, that's like a steep concept. I wish they would do that for offsides or any other review you do.
Well, I was actually going to ask that. Like, do you think they should do 5-on-3 for yeah, all of these coaches' challenges?
I really do. You have, like Charles, for example, like the guys who are on the review team, they're so fucking good. So if you get these wrong, I think there should be a consequence for it.
Yeah, I guess the case is there's not many times now where you can review a penalty, right? Like, I don't think there are any.
No, but like even like goaltender challenges or like the rare offside one.
The only thing that they've added is if it's a major, you can review it, or a double minor, I think. Or if it's a major, like you can review it to reduce it. I think what they added last year or the year before was if you call a major penalty, you can... The refs are allowed to review it to reduce it, but they can't increase one from a review. Okay, it only goes down. So that way, like, sometimes they'll call the major just to be safe and then go to the review.
Like, I know other leagues, but otherwise, will do a like, certain
if a
thing.
Goal happens.
Yeah, like other leagues, if you're in the last like 3 minutes or something, it's an automatic review for certain plays like that. So that I can understand as well. But if you're at like the top of your period or like even halfway through, then tough shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's like we talked about on the last one with the missed stoppage on that goal with the hand pass from Matthews, where it's like, you know, some things are reviewable to overturn a goal, but some aren't. And so
that
I think
should never have been reviewable. The call on the ice is made. Let's leave it up to the refs.
Yeah, it's like I said before, a missed stoppage should be what it is. A missed stoppage. You missed it.
Exactly.
Moving on.
Yeah. 100%.
What was the other? There was something. Oh, yeah. Kind of hinted at it earlier, but if anyone isn't following, baseball got interesting. Oh, my God.
Oh my God.
So the Dodgers spent $1 billion US dollars on two players, one of whom who has never pitched a game in the MLB and tried to and had 5 earned runs in 1 inning and got pulled. Like, oh, you don't need to watch a lot of baseball to know that's bad.
That's pretty hard to do, yeah.
That's horrible. I mean, obviously it's an adjustment, but like, it's just fun making fun of the team that spent a lot of money.
I mean, we're talking about our $700 million player, his interpreter.
Well, and then there's that whole thing. So if you missed it, Shohei Ohtani's interpreter was fired and accused of stealing $4.5 million from Shohei to cover his gambling debts. So many things have come out since that initial headline dropped.
A lot of twists and turns in this story.
Like, ESPN went through and found bank transactions, like wire transfers that are public record, that have Shohei Ohtani's name on it, transferring $500,000 twice to this guy's account. So, like, I mean, you can say it's theft, but he signed off on wire. There's ways that could be theft, but it looks pretty bad.
Even like one of the original stories was that like he was just giving him money to pay off his debt. Like, this guy's a degenerate gambler. Shohei's such a good dude. He wired him $4.5 million or whatever it was. And that quickly, they disavowed that story. Lawyers said it was a massive theft. And here we are now.
Yeah. And of course, the problem with any story like this where we don't get all the facts is people start to speculate. I mean, not going to get into it a ton, but there was a time earlier this year in hockey where you don't give people all the facts, they start speculating. And now it's, hey, did Shohei get this guy to cover for his own gambling? Like, people are going to run with this.
This is a massive... I feel like this is a really, really big story. Like, he's entered his Pete Rose era so early. like that's a lot of money. Like he's got a lot of accountants. How does this chunk of change not get noticed up until this point? Like, oh, I had no idea this is happening. Like, are you for real? Like, and like you said, like the signing off on small amounts, it's
like you don't steal $4.5 million in $500,000 chunks. Like,
yeah,
to do that unnoticeably, like the only time I can think of is like Dane Cook talked about how his brother, who was his manager, was like siphoning money off of him for years and over like a decade took like a couple $1 million. Like it takes, it's a long con to steal that money without somebody noticing.
Like, they played a game like a day or two before there, like where they were both in the dugout and they were best friends. Like they were interacting super happy. Like,
yeah,
it's just a super weird story. I'm not saying one thing or another because we don't know, but
I just think it looks really bad for the major sports and being so close to the all these betting companies. Because like what happened with Shane Pinto, there was so much that didn't become public. No one really knows what happened.
No, it does.
Someone was using his account to place some bets, so we're going to suspend him for 41 games. Okay, that's
these
a
gambling
very
sites and the money that weird comes in from it is such a massive revenue right now. So if you were actually to have an infraction, especially with a player like on Shohei's level, that's the biggest story you can have.
Yeah, I mean, look, Shane Pinto is one thing. Shohei Ohtani is literally like the biggest name baseball has had since like
the highest paid athlete of all time.
Yeah, so they really got to figure out the lines here. You know, if you're going to be pushing this so much and it's going to be so much a part of day to day lottery gambling as it's become, like, yeah, they got to figure out how it affects the players. I mean, they know what they can do and what they can't, but
for this stuff
you got to find out how to properly monitor this. They have to like have their accounts go through something. I don't know what it is, but they need to tighten up on this quick, because we've seen a lot of industries be too slow to catch up on the tech. This is one they got to get now, or it's going to be trouble.
Yeah, you got to really get in front of it. And like, it doesn't seem like they're doing a great job of that.
Well, I mean, look, I'm thinking all the way back to what was that Operation Slapshot or whatever? Or
The whole like Phil Donahue thing with the NBA?
No, the wasn't it like Gretzky's?
Janet had a big thing too when he was in Arizona. Yeah.
Yeah, there was that big hockey. It wasn't like people betting on hockey. It was hockey people betting
just
on football.
Gambling. Yeah.
But it becomes a whole problem because it's people that are involved in sports betting on other sports. Because
if there's a bit of smoke, then that's all you need. Like,
it's almost like the insider trading of gambling, because sports is one of those weird ones where it's almost chance, but it's kind of not, because it's people's efforts individually involved. And if you are in that industry, you have information. Even if you play a different sport, your agent manages people in that sport. Like, you have information that other people don't, and you can make more educated bets than the general public can. So I like, even then betting on other sports gets complicated.
Oh,
and this is getting far away from the Shohei thing, like, but like, this is the point, is like, when you mix these things this closely, this is what happens.
Yeah, there was like two NFL players a year or two ago who got suspended for a whole year for betting on something outside of NFL. So like, this has to be taken very seriously.
Yeah, and I mean, look, you got to give kudos to these people that manage the leagues, because they are, I mean, we'll see what happens with Ohtani, but at least we've seen suspensions that are substantial for these things. Like, they're not taking it lightly because they understand it, the gravity of it, but they're not.
Yeah.
It's been reactionary, right? Like, they're not putting the safeguards in place to prevent these kinds of things from happening. They're just catching it afterwards and laying suspensions down. So now the next step is, you know, what are we doing here?
I mean, like, they're saying they're doing an investigation. I mean, like, this guy is the face of MLB. What are they really going to do here? They don't have a smoking gun or anything. I think it's probably going to get swept under the rug.
Yeah.
It'd be hilarious if it's some, like, Rogers employee who was like, hey, I'm going to fucking dig deep into this guy and spurn you for not signing with the Blue Jays, but
wouldn't that be sweet? But no, I think it's really suspicious that right off the bat, he came forward and like approached. I don't know how to. I'm sorry. I'm not even going to attempt to say the guy's name. But the interpreter approached the team and said, you know, I take full responsibility for this. Like he, it almost seemed a little like.
But from what I read, like the interpreter had like a full interview that it was supposed to be released before all this happened, and they just like canned it. They blacked it out, and the lawyers are like, he was a massive thief. That's all it was. So he actually never got to say his piece before it actually came out.
Yeah, this is all so fishy.
That was a really big thing.
So it seems like they're trying to get a lock on this and control the story, because if people knew that they're just kind of giving a pass to their biggest star, like, fuck, what do you do if Connor McDavid gets caught up in this? Like, you can't, like...
You can't even really compare it. Like, you're talking like $16 million compared to almost $1 billion. The amount of money that is involved is insane. Not comparable. But if you're talking like greatest players in the league, for sure. But this is like unlike anything that's ever hit the sports.
Well, yeah, I mean, money aside, it's like the person that you're trying to make the star of your, the face of your sport, the, you know, the person who's in commercials for betting companies.
Easily. Like, in talks of being the best, most, like, best baseball player of all time.
Oh, Lord. I am so interested to follow this.
So how do you see this actually playing out?
I think it's just going to be that this interpreter, the MLB cuts him some deal behind the scenes that, like, they'll give him some cash and he's going to take the fall publicly for it. They'll make sure he's taken care of, but we can't have Shohei take any heat for this. Like, you're going to say,
you think
that
Shohei, like, takes that's why zero heat for this.
I think that he just comes out and says that he tried to, he was aware of the guy's gambling problems, but it was
tried,
you know,
to help
late.
A friend type of thing.
Yeah, like tried to help him out, didn't realize how deep he was, and then I don't know how they're gonna try to finagle the stolen money. Like, they came out and said that he stole it, so like I don't know.
Yeah, like the whole money thing is just like a side thing. Like, that's not on the front burner for MLB. I actually think that they're gonna, Shohei will probably get off with nothing. Maybe they paid this guy off on the side. Who actually knows? But he's 100% going to take the fall for what happened, whether he was in the wrong or he wasn't. I don't think we'll ever know that.
Yeah, I don't think this one's going to ever be unsealed.
But if you had, like, deep down, I think he knew a little bit of what was going on. Whether, like, he just wanted to cover his gambling debts or, like, he was trying to be a good friend or something, but, like, he knew some shit was going on.
Look, Shohei seems like a genuine nice guy, and he just signed an absolutely ludicrous contract. So, look, if one of your friends is like, hey, I made some mistakes, I'm in the whole $4 million, it's like, hey, I make that when I walk up to the plate every
swing.
Time.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, here you go.
Listen, like, Jay Ross, I'm going through March Madness right now. I'm not doing too good, buddy.
Oh.
How can you help me out?
What do you do when you hit on one? What's your go-to?
What's my go-to?
Yeah.
Withdraw, baby. I leave a little bit of money in the float, and that's all I do.
I'm trying to figure out, like, I feel like pre-celebrate as though you've won.
Oh, no. I don't do that. I do pretty good, though. I'm not going to lie. I usually win a lot more than I lose. Although, March Madness, hardest sporting event of all time to bet on.
Well, I was just saying today, I don't watch it, but for some reason I get... I don't have basketball notifications turned on from TSN, but they send me March Madness every year. And all day it's just, this seed upset, that seed upset. Like, I feel like all of March Madness, I mean, it's madness for a reason, is just... top seeds losing
a lot of top seeds fucking losing, and not in a great way. Yeah, like Auburn today, fourth seed compared to Yale, 13th seed, lost. Kentucky was a third seed yesterday, they lost. A couple other ones just fucked me. I am never betting on this goddamn event again.
Hey, they're children. What do you expect?
You can't win. I can't pay rent this month.
You know, when you're talking... Oh, no, it's... I was going to make a High School Musical reference, but this is college. It's a little different. I was going to say, when they have to choose between the practice for the musical and basketball practice, sometimes things change for the championship game.
I feel like my first introduction into gambling was March Madness, probably when I was like 18 years old, hang out with the homies on March break, doing a little gambling on Proline or whatever. But the first round, the second round was always a lock, and it's just flipped upside down right now. You don't know what's going to happen. No one is safe. My advice to gamblers out there is don't do it. You're not going to win.
Don't. I learned early from playing the slot machines and Pokemon games as a child that, like, oh, this is addicting. I have to cash out so quick the few times that I do go to the casino because I know it. I'm so bad for, like, what if I just... No. Just leave. I know you've been here for 20 minutes, but you won. Leave. It's not about sticking around at this point.
I'm a pretty good gambler, but yeah. In the words of Nancy Reagan... Do you want to walk away with
$700?
Just say no.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I learned after the first time, I think it was like 300 or something I won. And I was like, well, what if I just like put some of it aside and I keep playing with this? And then I keep doing that. And then I'm like, how did I lose money?
Oh, it happened so quickly too.
Yeah.
All this to be said, anybody who's out there listening, let's send out a little prayer to Wisconsin right now, especially to Beaner. You're in the home state, buddy. You did not come on the podcast tonight. You owe me this. A little prayer tonight. We're down 15. We've got 20 minutes left to go.
15? Oh, my God.
15 yeah. or 20?
Being a graphic, we need you to sneak in and give a pep talk, please.
Yeah.
Give one of your famous pump-up speeches.
Under the bridge next time.
Oh, man. Okay. Other than... you know, go all of your teams you've put on. Anything you want to say before we head out?
No. Let's just hope none of the boys get injured towards the end of the season because we're locked into our positioning and it's just going to be a slog the rest of the year. That's all it is. We're waiting for playoffs.
Who designed this lovely Beavis and Butthead Burton Domi shirt you're wearing?
Flowbuds. Check him out on Twitter. He's on Etsy. He's got some great stuff. Couldn't recommend him higher. Love the shirt.
Flowbuds. Okay, I will post. Oh, yeah. Joey Ferguson.
He had a great hit on Sportsnet where Domi looked at it and he loved it too.
Hell yeah. I love that this stuff is taken off.
Look at Beaner's Robodaw Island shirt he had the other day, the same guy.
Yeah, brick wall, the Mount Core 4.
Oh yeah. He's doing God's so many work styles out here.
Yeah. It's like I was saying, the Leafs need to start reaching out to people that do fun things like this and do some real collabs instead of having everyone ride the line of copyright.
Let's not get anyone in trouble here, cool. But we love the shirts.
We do. And it's all within fair use. So it's just, you know, let people make more money, you know?
Yeah, in the realm of legality.
Yep. Oh, tomorrow I'm going to PWHL Ottawa versus Toronto here in Ottawa.
Are you?
Yeah, 1:00.
Fun. At what time?
It's at 1 p.m.
I thought you said 11 o'clock. I said, Jesus Christ.
Ooh.
But that's fine.
Toronto's on an 11-game winning streak. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They're super good. I've been making a ton of money off that team.
Nice.
Like a lot.
See, this is where I'm like, When I started, I watched the first couple of games of Toronto's season and they lost the first two. And I was like, oh, you know what? I think I'm going to go with Ottawa. And then it went like, wow.
They're like straight, so good.
Straight match of the NHL. Ottawa just went, bang.
What was the stat? They have like the longest winning streak in Toronto history right now, I think.
Toronto hockey, yeah. The Raptors have a 15 game, I think, from 2020.
Oh, yeah, that's true. They do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
we're down 10. We got life here, buddy.
My favorite is people were commenting saying that, like, oh, you can't really compare this to the Leafs because the Leafs play against 30 teams. It's like, I'm sorry, were they not in the original six for an extremely long period of time and that's when they won their cup? Like, don't not even mention- start.
You play against a team that's in front of you. Let's not belittle what these fucking great hockey players are doing.
Also, when you only have to play five other teams, that means you're playing the team in first place a lot more often than when
they infinitely know what you're doing too. Like, that's a tough matchup.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, exactly. You're playing a fun little thing too.
Like, we've been going out lately, and at the bars, there's always a women's game playing too. We love seeing this.
Yeah, I'm excited to see one in person for the first time.
Me too.
Some of the reels that I've seen going around of, like, you know, they like in Colorado, how they do all the small things. I saw they were doing Taylor Swift at one of the games. They stopped the music, like, because the game started again, and the whole crowd just continued singing Taylor Swift.
So we're probably going to podcast tomorrow. So I definitely want to, like, have a recap about it.
Yeah. I'll let you know what it's like.
Right. I got to go back to my my degenerate gambling den.
Have fun and good luck. And to all of you, come back soon. We'll be here.
Yeah, please.
It's late night. We out.
Where's that thumbs up or thumbs down? This fucking thing doesn't know what it's doing.
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Leafs Late Night, your night of post-game podcast. Available after every game on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audible, and more.
Oh, God, that weird, man. Ugh.